Our lesson this morning is out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6, and then verses 14 through 18, living in holiness in view of the rapture. Because they faced an errant, troubling view of the rapture, Paul's readers needed to live responsibly and not like believers who adopted the error, and that required that they separate from ungodly believers. Accordingly, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6 and verses 14 to 18 deals with the need to live separately from even ungodly fellow believers for one's own spiritual edification. So we view the passage for our insight, our application, and our edification. I'd like to look to God in prayer, then we'll get into the Word. Thank you, Father, for the privilege that you grant us to gather here this morning. We thank you for your Word. Thank you for the indwelling Spirit of God who is the author of Scripture through holy men of God, who also illumines the Word of God to us so we can understand it, and then who equips us by his power to live it as we rely on the Spirit of God. We ask for wisdom today to take advantage of all of those ministries of the Spirit of God so that we can understand the text and then use it for blessing and for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I want to read the verses and then we'll look at them. We're in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 6 and then skip over to verses 14 to 18. Verse 6, now we command you, brothers or brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly and not after the tradition which he has received from us. Now down to verse 14. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I'm writing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Okay, and a very strong command that appealed to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Paul ordered his readers to keep away, to stand aloof from, that's the Greek word stelo, every spiritual brother, adelphos. Whenever the apostles refer to brother, they're referring to spiritual brother in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not talking about one of their earthly brothers. Stay away from every spiritual brother in Christ who lived in a disorderly manner, ataktos, that means disorderly, not after the tradition. And the tradition is teachings or commandments, parodesis, what had been delivered over to, that they had received from Paul's apostolic ministry and team members. Now in the context, and as we learned in our previous lesson, this meant that Paul's readers were to avoid spiritual fellowship with fellow believers who were living off of the livelihood of others instead of working for a living, and who were wrongly becoming busybodies in the matters of other people. You'll recall we covered this in verses 7 to 13 last week. However, we can broaden the application of this directive to any issue where fellow believers disobey any teaching in God's word that influences other believers to sin. God wants his people to live lives that are orderly and that conform to what the Scripture teaches. We've lost it. I think so. Anyway, God wants his people to live lives that are orderly and that conform to what Scripture teaches, so separating close ties with even fellow Christians whose influence causes us to be tempted to live and equally disobedient lives is a step that God wants us to take. Whoops, I guess it's on. Okay. Paul clarified how this separation from ungodly believers was to be practiced in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. If any believer disobeyed the commands of the apostolic authority in Paul, the readers were not to mingle or associate themselves for one's own benefit. You'll notice sunanamignusthai, you don't know Greek, but anyway, that's in the middle voice. It's a middle infinitive. In Greek, you have a unique situation. In English, we have an active and passive voice. Active, the subject does the acting. The passive, the subject is acted upon. In Greek, you add another one. There's a middle voice. In the middle voice, the subject is doing the acting, but it's doing it for itself. It's for its own benefit. This is the middle voice, middle infinitive. So for your own benefit, do not mingle or associate. That demonstrates the reason. The purpose behind this is for your own edification. Sometimes you have to withdraw fellowship, even from a fellow professing Christian, simply because what they're doing is either so toxic or so infective that it's going to hurt your walk with the Lord. And they have to mingle, not mingle or associate with that believer, that he might be put to shame. And entrape is passive of entrepo, to shame. Nevertheless, this separation was not to be so severe that the godly rewarded the disobedient believer as an enemy, ekthros. For that level of separation was to be practiced with apostates who taught a false gospel of salvation or who denied Christ's deity or incarnation, according to 2 John verses 9 and 10. That was first degree separation. In fact, in first degree separation, according to 2 John verses 9 and 10, you're not even supposed to allow the person into your home. You're certainly not supposed to eat with them. You're certainly not supposed to even bid him Godspeed or have a good day kind of a thing, because in doing so, you're participating in his works. This is why when a Jehovah's Witness or Mormon comes to my door, I never let them in the house. I will talk to them out there. I'll seek to be a witness to them out there. But if they're going to push their emphasis, I say no. And in fact, one time there was a Mormon elder who came, and I said, well, based upon what you're telling me, I have to withdraw from you, so I can't, because I'm a born-again Christian. And the elder looked at me and says, well, I am too. And I was surprised, but then I remember some information that I received. Approximately 15 or 20% of Mormons are actually born-again Christians who have been deceived and gone into the Mormon church. They don't know it. They don't know that they're denying the deity of Jesus Christ and all. So this guy looked really, really shocked. And later I saw him in a very hefty argument with his fellow elder. They normally go out in two, and they were having a big old discussion as a result of this. I don't know what happened, but anyway. We're supposed to withdraw, and that's first degree separation from those who deny the deity of Christ or who are deny the incarnation of the Lord Jesus. Rather, with a fellow believer who lived in disobedience to Scripture, the godly were to practice second degree separation, that is separation in fellowship from that fellow but disobedient believer. The second degree separation was to be done to admonish or to instruct. Nutheteo. You've probably heard of nuthetic counseling by Jay Adams. This is a counseling that confronts a person with wrong and directs them according to Scripture. But this is the Greek word nutheteo. That's to admonish and to warn. A wayward believer as a brother in order to see him repent and obey God's word. Such separation is itself often viewed by Christians as being ungodly. But the Apostle Paul's continuing remarks in 2 Thessalonians 3, 16 to 18, of closing out the epistle, demonstrates that this separation truly edifies. Paul followed up his teaching on second degree separation by giving a benediction that the Lord of peace might himself give his readers peace at all times and in every way, and that the Lord might be with them all, 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Thus, true experiential peace at all times and in every way in fellowship with the Lord can occur only if second-degree separation is biblically practiced. For a perfectly sinless God, who is holy or separate from sin, fellowships only with perfectly holy believers. It's interesting, in 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, God says, be ye holy, as I, the Lord your God, am holy. The word holy is separate. So, if we're going to fellowship with God, if we want to enjoy God's fellowship, we have to be holy ourselves. And that also means that we have to be holy in relationship to others. I don't see any response. But it's just black. Yeah. Anyway, we've had problems losing the recording or the phone. So in case his readers might question his teaching in this epistle, especially his teaching on second degree separation just clarified, Paul closed the letter by taking the pen from the secretary who was writing the epistle by dictation to write in his own hand his closing greeting and stating that this was his typical proof that the epistle was from him. You notice verse 17, with the salutation of my own hand, which is the token of every epistle, so I'm right. So Paul took the pen out of the hand of the amanuensis or the secretary, and what he did was write in his own hand. His handwriting was a little larger. He did that intentionally. And that way, it was a trademark. It was proof to the people that Paul had dictated this epistle, even though the writing may have been looked different from Paul's writings. He had dictated this epistle, and he proved it with his own signature, so to speak. And that way, they would recognize that what Paul had said was authoritative. So what Paul had said about this matter of second-degree separation was authoritative. So then Paul closed the epistle, calling for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to be with all his readers. So, in order to please the Lord and enjoy close fellowship with him at all times and in every way, we believers must obey his word and practice biblical first-degree separation from apostates, and if biblically necessary, second-degree separation from those fellow believers who disobey God's word. Now that may sound new, but it's a very important thing. For God's rich blessing, then, may we live holy lives in practicing first and second degree separation. Back in the 90s, I don't know if it was 1995, 94, 93, somewhere in there, I was in a car repair shop. I was sitting in the customer room, and I started to think about the ways God had led me to separate from just evangelical institutions, various institutions. So I thought, let me make a list. I want to see how many. And I'd been here at Nepog Church for about 20 years. And so I wrote a list out, and I was shocked. I had 17 institutions that I had to pull back from. Not because I had chosen of my own will to do that. I was thinking of fellowshipping with them at the very beginning when I first came, but because of problems and what was going on with the groups themselves and how I had to protect myself or protect the church and whatnot, I had to pull back from it. At one time, for example, I used to interact with the Farmington Valley Ministers Association. At first it was, you know, godly Christians. Well, then they had some charismatic pastors come in, and then what they wanted to do is to have inter-church meetings. So they're, whoa. No, I don't want people, there's a lot of errant theology there. So I pulled out of the Farmington Ministers Association. I tried interacting with other pastors, and there were problems there. So I said, for the sake of my own walk with the Lord and the sake of the dear people at Nepog Church, I can't risk this. So by experience, the rough experience of ministry in the life, I've actually had to come to that point. And now, in my own walk, I probably am more separate now than I've ever have been in my own walk. But I don't mind doing that because I see the Lord very active in my own personal life and in ministry. So this may sound something that is new. It's certainly not an unloving situation. It's a matter of holiness. It's a matter of holiness. It's a matter of protecting ourselves in our own walk with the Lord. We have to be very careful to make sure that we worship a God who's not only loving, he's infinitely loving, he's not only righteous, he's also separate, he's holy. And God wants his people to be holy just as the Lord himself is holy. Okay, we are going to open it up now for questions or feedback that you have. If there is a question on the lesson itself, feel free to address it. If there's something else that has come up during the week or something that maybe you've been thinking about for years and you've had a question about, feel free to address it, and we will seek to answer it by Scripture. Yes, Tara.